Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi everyone, this is a Ruck Extra Special. We've all arrived hot foot from the media briefings and how brilliant they were after Warren Gatland and his co-selectors came up with the 37, not 36 names on the Lions tour. I'm joined hot foot from their laptops by Stuart Barnes, Alex Lowe and Owen Slott. Owen, can I start with you? There is no Henry Slade, there is no Manu Tuilagi, there's no Carl Sinclair, no Billy Vunipola, there's no Sam Underhill, and there's no Johnny May. But there are a heck of a lot of people who Eddie Jones doesn't pick. Is this a gigantic two fingers to Eddie Jones and the England selectors?
It's hard not to. It's hard to see it any other way, actually, Jones. I mean, there are a lot of things about this squad which are really, really fascinating. But as Jason Leonard was reading out the names today, and he went sort of through them alphabetically, first through the backs and then the forwards, and one by one, you could count off the England players that hadn't quite made it. A while back, Eddie said that he was hoping to get 20 Englishmen on the Lions tour. He knows what a great learning tool it is. He knows how it improves players and it gives them confidence where they stand in the world game. Well, he's got 11, and one of them is Sam Simmons, who he's been diligently rejecting for 3 years or so. So it wasn't the greatest endorsement of Eddie's own selection theories.
Stuart, I think we knew that the backs would need to be pretty big and strapping to play against the likes of Demian Deolende and these fellas. Did we ever think that the name Bundy Aki would appear in the Lions tour party?
No. I mean, when you've already got Robbie Henshaw, who's a powerhouse in theory, Bundy Aki just didn't cross my mind. And one of the reasons it didn't cross my mind, I don't think Bundy's been that brilliant. Bundy Aki is fit. Manu Tuilagi is not fit, and it's an attempt to fight fire with fire. I understand where Warren Gatland's coming from, but I wouldn't say that's a very good selection. Of the 37, he'd be probably my 37th most expected selection and my worst rated.
Alex, just going, I did ask Warren in the press conference about Tuilagi, and I said, how long close did you come to waiting for him? And he said, very close. But in the end, he had an Achilles and he'd be going out to play on hard grounds. Should they have waited because their midfield combinations now look rather lightweight or not very good?
Well, I think they should have waited. I think they should have picked him. I said this on the pod on Monday and last week. I think Tuilagi is such a talent that you listen to what Sale say, and Sale say he's back this month. They anticipate him playing 3 regular season games, and obviously the club want him to play in the semi-finals and the final as well. So potentially 5 games. I think he's so important, and he's such a different player to Bundy Aki that they should have picked him. And then if he's not ready when the squad leaves, then you replace him. Bundy Aki's selection to me is the equivalent of Ben Teo from 4 years ago, but I don't see him getting in the test squad.
Owen, if 2 years ago, if you'd said we were even thinking in our wildest dreams that the Lions would go to South Africa without Billy Vunipola, you would suspect that Billy must have retired injured or something. But really, is it not a sign of how incredibly he seems, his career appears to be in reverse, that he's not on this trip?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we've been talking about shock selections and shock omissions and that, and The thing is, does anyone on this podcast actually think that Billy's omission was a shock at all? For me, it was just confirmation of what we all really know and we've talked about for a few weeks, months now, is that he isn't the player that he was. I mean, that's not to say that he couldn't be, and hopefully for him one day that he will be. When we were all doing putting in our own squads who we would take to South Africa, I argued that Gatland should take him and should back himself to bring out the best of Billy. Gatland's obviously, he knows his coaching ability better than I do. Gatland's had a long, hard look at Billy and go, no, sorry, I can't do it.
He's also taken a look at the balance of his pack and decided that there are more effective power men elsewhere. And if you look at the three number eights that he's picked, none of them fit that Billy mould. Faletau, Konan and Sam Simmons. It's about playing with pace, dynamism, attacking off the back there. And I suspect he'll probably try and do what Exeter do around Simmons, which is have the big men elsewhere.
Okay, understood. Stuart, there are usually on the Great Lions tours, for instance, around the Welsh team in 1971, it's sort of one team, one nation imposes the sort of core of it. But if you look at the backs, you've got random fullbacks, you've got people who can play in different positions, you've got combinations who never played together before. If you look at the backs as a whole, do we think there's something in there that can gel into a world-class test-class back division?
It's a huge test for Gregor Townsend. It looks to me at the moment as if Murray and Bigger would be your first-choice half-backs. They play together, but they're not regular. There isn't a world-class combination in the centre. And I think there's question marks at full-back. And we've got two very bright wingers. It looks to me, Steve, as if the Lions are going to go hell for leather to compete with the Springboks to do what Wales did in the semi and kick a lot. I'd expect Bigger and Murray to kick the leather off the ball. They pick chasers there. And if you look at the forwards, the number of second row stroke back row alternatives tells me that they're just going to come out for a fight for 80 minutes. And we know about the South African so-called bomb squad. I think the Lions' plan is to say, well, we've got blokes who can step into the line out, who can step into the breakdown and we can go 80 minutes. I don't think it's going to be pretty. It may be effective, but there's a lot of work to do.
Jonesy, can I ask you? You've been asking, because you're very good at everything that you do, you've been asking very pointed questions, but they sound as if if you don't think this squad is what it should be or could be, or you disapprove of it.
Look, I like in South Africa, and I've been there 650 times, I've never seen anyone there succeed in trying to take them on in anything but their own game. And when you get, with the greatest respect to two Scottish props, good God bless them, but my God, they've got to prove that they're worth it now, because they've not dominated anyone yet. And now they've got to dominate the bomb squad first half and second half. You know, you've got people in there. There's not enough big hard lumps in there for me. There's not enough scrummages for me. Too many willowy players. Alan Wynne-Jones is the only real big hard horrible grafter in the front five. And back row, there are some people there who will not play the test matches and will become Lions by playing one and a half games.
What you say is really interesting, James, because you say there's not a lot of big, hard lumps in there. But you make the point, Stuart, which I agree, that he's actually filled a midfield with kind of hard lumps, isn't he? Which is where I'd like to see your rugby players.
Well, the omission of Slade, I think, is very important. Slade is one of the smartest players. Ringrose has got great footwork, but this 13 position, I think Chris Harris is going to be the Test 13.
So do I.
And it's a way of taking on South Africa at their own game. And by the way, I have nothing against Harris. I think he's the most improved player in British Isles and Ireland. But I don't think you're going to beat South Africa just by nullifying them there, unless all you do is play this narrow vision game of chasing non-stop. I'm concerned by it, but I really don't know. Having watched the Six Nations, whether the best of Britain and Ireland actually is good enough to beat South Africa by playing another way. So they're going to try and take him on that way.
Alex, can I ask you about two areas? First of all, your old area of the scrummage, are they good enough up front? And secondly, were you surprised that Sinclair has been left behind?
I was massively surprised. I think that's the biggest shock omission for me. I know over in Ireland, they're up in arms that Johnny Sexton hasn't made it. He was always up against it, I think, particularly with Gregor Townsend on the coaching staff, and therefore Finn Russell would have had a big champion in the selection meeting. Not taking Carl Sinclair, who is England's first choice tight head prop, who was on the tour 4 years ago and made big impacts off the bench, it is a shock to me. And to try and piece together all the things that were being said, I hear what Barnsley says about being concerned about the style of play. It's interesting that when you listen to Gregor Townsend, the attack coach, he talked a lot today about the way he wants the Lions to attack, about getting a Faletau or a Sam Simmons involved in the back play, i.e. pace, handling, footwork. And Carl Sinclair would offer that from a front row ball carrying perspective. And I had him, as I think everyone else, nailed on to be in the squad and a second choice to Tadhg Furlong. I think he's an aggressive scrummager. Rory Sutherland will go out there with having just recovered from a shoulder injury on the other side of the scrum. Mako has had proven issues against South Africa in the World Cup final. I would worry about the Lions taking them on, and I think they're denuded up front without someone like Carl Sinclair.
To play for your life against the Springbok back row, would you not want Sam Underhill there, described by Sam Warburton as the greatest tackler in the game, the man who some of us gave 10 out of 10 to in the World Cup semi-final? Would you not back him over, for instance, the persevering but not as powerful Hamish Watson?
I kind of had those two as a bit of an either-or. I'm not so clear on that. I mean, Hamish Watson was the player of the Six Nations. You have to acknowledge that. You don't become that if you're underpowered or not big enough. He didn't look lacking in power to me during the Six Nations. That said, I have phenomenal admiration for Sam Underhill as a player, so I would have liked them both to have been on that plane.
I've seen a lot of Underhill, and there's no doubt at all that since his injury, he hasn't found his game. Barth are subbing him at 50 minutes because he's not having an impact. Miles Reid is coming on and doing more. Now, I was a huge fan of Sam Underhill a long, long, long time ago when I was working for Sky and watching him shadow Justin Tipperick in the Ospreys. And I think he's a magnificent player. But in the same way, I wouldn't take Farrell or Jonathan Davis because their form has been so off for a long time. I just don't think in an area where there's high quality, open sides, you can take him. He's not justified.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll be right back. captaincy. In the end, I think we always thought, would he get the trip? We always thought, would he look to be reduced halfway through the Six Nations and neck and have to be dragged off, sort of thing? But he seems to have come through pretty well. He was looked a bit dodgy when he was a hologram in the team announcement. But are we all pretty happy with Alan Wynn at least as the captain, or would any of us gone elsewhere?
I'd have gone Marrow, because I think it's very important that the Lions, there's a degree of atonement for their callous ignoring of South Africa and its racist policies. Having said that, Warren Gatland's job isn't to worry about those issues. Warren Gatland's job is to pick the best team and the best captain, and I have absolutely no problem with Gatland's choice of Alan Wynne-Jones.
He did give one hell of a boring press conference, though, didn't he? Or his interview on the TV. I mean, Lord, do we want people to watch rugby, or do we just want them to go somewhere else?
Well, for some reason, that went on and on, but he was a hologram. I mean, you're not your best when you're a hologram, are you?
I tell you what, if they were all holograms, if they were all holograms, the Springboks would be able to tackle any of them, would they? Be able to go through the whole lot.
Through. Alex, we've heard a lot from Warren today. I mean, let's just talk about what's going to happen off the field. We might all be subjected to it, but the way that Warren, at least in one of the press conferences, they said, look, Warren, what's going to happen in the evening? He said, oh, well, we're going to play cards and have games and that sort of thing. It didn't sound very exciting. What is the impression you get? Because on the one hand, only Ben Youngs, for another reason, has dropped out, which means these guys are dedicated to the Lions and the concept. I have to say it, the way Warren outlined it, it didn't sound like a ball of fun off the field. Is that dangerous?
It is dangerous, and it's about how you manage it. I think we saw with England in the Six Nations, they had the tightest COVID regulations of all the countries, and it worked against them. They had players who were being affected by that. Billy Vunipola spoke of being impacted by not being able to go home and see his kid, and that is something that these players have to accept. And as you say, Ben Young's pulled out because his wife is pregnant with their third child. Joe Marler didn't get a letter from the Lions, and he thinks that was because he pulled out of the Six Nations because he couldn't face being in the bubble and the pressures it would have put on his family. And he also conceded that he behaved like a dick in New Zealand 4 years ago, and so he was never in contention. So I think Gatland has already taken a lot of that into account. He's going to need good characters. As we spoke about on Monday, he'll need some supreme characters in the dirt trackers, because they won't get a game for 3.5 weeks and they'll be stuck in the bubble. So there's a huge responsibility on the squad to try and generate an environment and an atmosphere when they can't get out and explore the country and have a change of scenery. It'll be really, really difficult. We're still waiting on the schedule, but we think they'll have two bases. We're pretty sure one in Johannesburg and one in Cape Town, and they'll have long days inside a admittedly pretty plush hotel. But it will be a massive challenge to stay sharp and to stay alert and to stay energized when they're cooped up for so long.
If behaving like a dick in New Zealand was an offence, I don't think any of us would be going to South Africa, would we?
And maybe none of this was actually said, but you got to remember Carl Sinclair got into a bit of bother in New Zealand, and you just don't know whether something like that ends up sticking in the mind of the management.
Barnes is making a desperate effort here, being the noted coward when expressing opinions, of telling us what he would have done with Johnny Sexton. We know that if Johnny Sexton was 93, most of Ireland would still want him. But is he now a little bit physically frail for this task, Stuart?
I think that's the concern. If you look at Six Nations form, which Warren Gatland tells us is the primary judge of selection, Sexton would be number one. He was magnificent against Scotland and England. I think, Steve, subconsciously, no one can get away apart from Sexton's fans in Ireland from the fact that he spends a lot of time down. He gets up, and there's like a loop going through our minds, isn't there, of Johnny pulling himself up. And I think the fact that the Lions picked their team just after the European semi and Sexton wasn't able to play in La Rochelle, I wonder whether subconsciously that was the difference between him going and not. Because I think Finn Russell is a different sort of fly half to Bigger and Sexton. So I think it was almost a case, if they're taking Russell, you take either or. Bigger or Sexton. And we've seen Bigger bouncing back from blows, Northampton, Leicester, playing very well. So, yeah, in the end, Steve, yes, I think there's this sense of vulnerability about Sexton. I'm sure Johnny Sexton will hate it. He's a scrapper, a competitor. And it's very hard to say he's too old for the Lions because he's no older than the captain.
Jonesy, the word the coaches used, all the coaches used all afternoon about Sexton was durability. They don't believe he has the durability. And Warren Gatland came up with a stat that he hadn't played three consecutive games since 2018. And on a tour where he may be pressed into Saturday action, bench midweek action, they just had too many concerns that he wouldn't last the trip.
That's an interesting point. Owen, we try. I just say we know Owen Farrell very well. In fact, we don't know him that well. But he could have been, say, 6 months ago. You think, well, he'd be the fly half or the centre. He could be captain. He now appears to be in not a career retreat, but going back into the pack. And it could be, it seems to me, that he may not play anything remotely as big a part on this tour as he has on previous tours and the rest of his career. Do you think that's going to be a problem, sort of off the field for Owen and his surroundings?
I think it will reveal a side of him that we haven't seen before, because I agree with you that I get the impression if the coaches were to write down their test team now, he certainly wouldn't be a starting 15, in the starting 15. So I think if they were picking their starting 15 now, it would have Bigger at 10 and Henshaw at 12. I think he's going to have a harder time unseating Henshaw from the 12 than Bigger from 10. But if those two players hit the ground running together, then Farrell will probably be a perpetual place on the bench, because he can cover both those spots. So I think he will be in the 23. But nevertheless, as you say, that will be a test of him, because he has been the kingpin and the number one all his career, wherever he's gone, really.
Indeed. Guys, can we just have just a minute about who is the selection that surprises you the most in terms of someone who's been left out? Stuart, do you want to have a go at that? Someone who's been left out. There's a lot of Englishmen. Quite a few people have been left out who most of us had in the team.
I don't quite know why we keep going on and on about the Englishmen left out. England were bloody useless in the tournament, and yet all we do here is talk about the Englishmen left out. So I'll talk about an Englishman left out. Henry Slade. I started with this, and I'll go back to it. Slade is a very good defensive player, which Gatland needs. He's got a kicking game, which is very useful, and he probably has more variety in terms of his handling and running game than even Ringrose, who's been left out. I think they missed a trick there. I didn't expect him to get picked, because we knew we could hear the vibes coming, but I still think this is a major blunder. And I don't think there's many major blunders. I think that is one.
Alex, you've got a question mark above Lucid Prop, but who's the big shock omission for you? Sinclair, or is there someone else on that status?
I would definitely have taken Sinclair. I'm just looking through the list of omissions that I made a note of as the squad was being announced. And going back to a comment about the second row, I'd have taken James Ryan, and I'd have taken him ahead of Johnny Hill. I've not been convinced at test level by Johnny Hill yet. I know James Ryan didn't have the best Six Nations, but he is a fighter. He is a scrapper. I remember him playing for Ireland. It's a World Cup warm-up game against England, and Ireland are collapsing all around him, and he's the only one who's holding them together. He is battling all the way. And I think he's a player who they could have really done with in the engine room. I would have backed these coaches and backed Gatland to fire him up again.
I'll just leave this thought with you. Sinclair, as you say, was a young buck in 4 years ago, played in the test matches as a replacement. In my opinion, he really now should have been more advanced in terms of the world rankings than he is, in my opinion. Also, I don't think, I'm sorry, I'm only disagreeing with you about these two positions. I don't think Ryan has been remotely himself. I mean, he was competitive yesterday. Owen, who's your most shocking omission?
Well, I'm going to go back to the front row, because you always go to Alex saying he's a front row specialist, but I'm a front row specialist.
I know you are. You kept it quiet, though.
The front row Gatland's clearly earmarked that the prime number one almost only job is for them to hold their own in the scrummage. So why he hasn't got Kieran Healy there ahead of Rory Sutherland, I find that baffling.
Yeah. Okay. And Stuart, what did you love about it? What do you love about this team? Maybe a position or a single player, or who are you really glad to see there?
I like the capacity to have second row stroke back rowers going 80 minutes against them. And on that, I think this is important because Alan Wynne-Jones cannot go the 80 minutes as he does for Wales. He's going to be 55 and off. And yeah, it could well be that will be the case with Maro Itoje, because these blokes, against South Africa, you have to give them absolutely everything against the box. And we didn't work that out in the World Cup. They've got it now. And that's interesting. And the men who are there to cover, I think, are fascinating. Courtney Laws has been out for a lot of this season, injured. Tremendous Lions tour in New Zealand. Wonderful athlete. Great line-out presence. He and Tyge Byrne, who can play second row and back row, could yet have massive roles coming off the bench at about the 50-minute mark.
The interesting thing about Courtney is that he was one of those who was not featured in the original long list on the Lions from the Lions coaches. He did not receive one of those emails. And I think his name came into the conversation in yesterday's selection meeting when the Lions increased their squad from 36 to 37. Because they needed an extra man in the second row, back row.
Okay, so who do you love in there, Alex? And then we'll come on to Owen to wrap up.
In Monday's pod, I said I'd have had Elliot Daly in my squad. I think one of the most interesting selections for me is that he's been picked as an outside centre, not as a fullback or as a versatile player. Gregor Townsend confirmed he's been picked as an outside centre. So to go back to where we started this conversation, that Eddie wanted 20 England players, he's got 11, one of whom he doesn't pick, and one of whom has been picked in a position that he never plays for England. And yet we all know that there's a great potential for him for that to be his best position.
Owen, what do you love about it?
I like the selection anyway, but I'm having heard that the coaches talk about it, I'm far more excited about Sam Simmons being selected than I even was before, because they didn't just say, oh, he's been a bit hard done by England and we can see how good he was. They were in raptures about the possibilities they saw for him and the potential they saw for him what extra he could bring and where they started to talk about where they would play him and where he would appear on the field. And they started making you think, well, what if he was playing for England? He could really do quite a lot of damage. But to see him on the hard fields of South Africa, it really whetted the appetite for me.
For me, I'll just give my own joyous selections. I just think that, again, this is slightly anti the England way of doing things. But I think Anthony Watson, playing at fullback or at least having the ball, has been a totally different player when he's not in the strictures of the England team. I think he could come back a glorious player. And I think the big battle for selection is between Liam Williams, who I think is the best player in the year the game has seen. I think those two are going to have a fantastic battle. I wouldn't have taken Stuart Hogg simply because Faf de Klerk is there and you can't have a guy who's so small and not particularly rapid underneath the high ball. Faf's selection would definitely be Stuart at fullback.
Can you play Liam Williams and Anthony Watson? I had them in my starting 15.
You can, but I wouldn't. But you can. I wouldn't. But I just think Watson is a waste out on the wing. But there we go. And before we go, can they win, Stuart? Can the Lions come back victorious? Are they favourites, or are the Box a big green monster that we're not going to disturb?
South Africa have not played together for a long time. That is a massive factor. They don't get their home crowds. That is a massive factor. It's going to be very close, I think. The Lions can win. I was a bookmaker, I'd make it fairly close at the moment because South Africa's preparation is non-existent.
You're not a bookmaker, but you know a lot of people who are bookmakers.
I do, Stephen, and I think spend time thinking about it. In the markets, if the Lions should be very close to being almost evens with South Africa.
Owen Slot, can they win?
I think they can, but I tell you what my overriding takeaway feeling that I've got from today and seeing the squad and hearing about it is contrary to what I said about Sam Simmons. Overall, I'm sort of thinking about how that's not such a brilliant squad and how there are areas that don't convince me. I mean, Barnes, you talked about the centre combination, and I don't feel like you've got a couple of real sort of royal lions sort of there. When you think of all the great centre partnerships of the past, it just doesn't quite convince me. I don't look at that front row and go, God, they're really going to be able to go toe-to-toe with the box. So they could win. Everything Stuart said is right. But I certainly have my misgivings.
Alex, from your front row expertise, can they win?
Can they win? Yes, but I would still say they're up against it. I'd agree with everything that's been said. I think that the very concept puts them up against it. I know the Box haven't played since the World Cup final, but they're still the world champions, and the Lions have got to come together from all different styles of play. It's the very concept makes it a challenge, but it's also the beauty of it. Can they win? Yes. But it will be. It's pretty hard to make a call between the two at the moment because neither team has featured on the field.
You make it. You use the word the beauty of it. That's one thing I picked up from today: the sheer excitement of people, even the hard old hacks and the people they're interviewing on the television, the ex-Lions, etc. There's a sense of great excitement. I still think the Lions are the greatest thing. There is a beauty about it. This team is not guaranteed in many departments, but who knows? Teams have come together before, and when you put that old red jersey on, well, you never know. Thank you for listening to this Ruck special. We'll be back on Monday. We've been right through lockdown, right through the Six Nations. We'll be going right through the Lions Tour. Please stay with us. Thanks to Stuart, thanks to Alex, and thanks to Owen. Thanks to producer Mike. See you Monday.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.